Let's pray. Lord, we do thank you for this opportunity to be in your word. We thank you for the chance to learn more about you, to be able to draw closer to you. We thank you, Lord, that truly we are surrounded by your presence, but also we are surrounded by our brothers and sisters. May your spirit reign with us this day. We pray in the name of your Son. Amen. Luke chapter 9, 28 to 36. Now about 8 days after those sayings, Jesus took with him Peter and John and James and went up on the mountain to pray. And while he was praying, the appearance of his face changed and his clothes became dazzling white. Suddenly they saw two men, Moses and Elijah, talking to him. They appeared in glory and were speaking of his departure, which he was about to accomplish at Jerusalem. Now Peter and his companions were weighed down with sleep, but since they had stayed awake, they saw his glory and the two men who stood with him. Just as they were leaving him, Peter said to Jesus, "Master, it is good for us to be here. Let us make three dwellings, one for you, one for Moses, and one for Elijah," not knowing what he said. While he was saying this, a cloud came and overshadowed them, and they were terrified as they entered the cloud. Then from the cloud came a voice that said, "This is my Son, my chosen, listen to him." When the voice had spoken, Jesus was found alone, and they kept silent, and in those days told no one any of these things they had seen. This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. This is one of those Sundays in the life of the church that has a name to it. What's the name of this Sunday? Right, it's Transfiguration Sunday. Awfully big word, just means change. This is a Sunday where we celebrate and we talk about the transfiguration of Jesus upon the mount. And I just read the story to you. Many of you have heard it before, sometimes many, many times before. It's the story of when Jesus was up on the mountain with his disciples and his countenance changed before them. The transfiguration is in, I think it might be in all four of the Gospels. I know it's in three of them for certain. And it is almost always placed within the middle of the story of Jesus. It's considered in many cases the crux of Jesus' ministry, the climax in some ways, that it's the pivot of the story of Jesus from the beginning of Jesus' ministry where he is with John the Baptist, first out and then goes out into the desert. And then when he comes back, he starts his teaching and his preaching and his healing ministries. We kind of get this sense of this rise. People are starting to get to know him. They're starting to believe in him. Things are starting to change and the outlook of the people towards Christ. And then we reach this pinnacle, this moment of the Mount of Transfiguration. And then that's not to say afterwards, it's all downhill from there. But Jesus' ministry starts to change. This is when he starts going off to Jerusalem. Everything's pointing towards the crucifixion and the resurrection after this point. So what happens? What leads us to this point? As I was going over the passage for this week, there were two separate stories that stood out, and both of them are in chapter 9. So in chapter 9, starting with verse 7, "Now Herod the ruler heard about all that had taken place. He was perplexed because it was said by some that John had been raised from the dead, by some that Elijah had appeared, and by others that one of the ancient prophets had arisen. Herod said, 'John I beheaded, but who is this about whom I hear such things?' And he tried to see him." Herod, the ruler of the time, started to hear words about Jesus whispering down to him, about this person of power and might, this person who does ministry to the poor, this person who heals. And he had just beheaded John, who kind of took this position prior to Jesus coming, you know, to prepare the way for Christ. So Herod asked the question, who is this Jesus? And then we have another story, also in chapter 9, starting with verse 18. Once when Jesus was praying alone with only the disciples near him, he asked them, who do the crowds say that I am? They answered, John the Baptist, but others, Elijah, and still others, that one of the ancient prophets had arisen. And he said to them, but who do you say that I am? And Peter answered, you're the Messiah of God. Now this proclamation that Jesus made, or that Peter made in on Jesus' behalf in the presence of the disciples is huge. The Messiah has been prophesied for hundreds and hundreds of years. The one who would come and free Israel from the tyranny of Rome and whoever was ruling them at the time, one who come and start a new kingdom. This is big stuff. And so it was a huge proclamation. But then Herod's proclamation, asking the question, who is this? Peter's proclamation, you know, asking the question, who is this? They're just questions. Many of you know that I'm fond of sayings, you know, things like that. One of the ones that comes to mind right now is the proof is in the pudding. You ever hear that saying? What does that mean? I have my ideas what that means, but what does it mean the proof is in the pudding? Any ideas? What's... Yeah. If proof is in the pudding. It's the experience of it that validates itself. You know, I mean, pudding looks good. I like pudding. Chocolate pudding is wonderful. Vanilla. Banana. Depends on my mood. Tapioca. Always in the mood for tapioca. And when you see it, it's good. But you never know if it's really good until you try it. And we see that this truth reigns true when it comes to people. People sometimes can advertise themselves very well. They can talk themselves up to let people like them. You know, we're good at marketing ourselves on occasion. But the proof of a person is in how they act. It's in who they are. It's in how they treat other people. All these sayings that were leading up to Jesus and the Mount of Transfiguration were just that, just sayings, things that people said. But Mount of Transfiguration gave us the saying, the proof is in the pudding. We start to see now Jesus' righteousness and his glory alive and well upon the mountain. The veil has been pulled back just a little bit, just enough to see that who Jesus was saying he was. What does that mean, however, for us? What does the Mount of Transfiguration mean to us today? It means that the person that we follow, this Jesus, Son of God, the one who promises us forgiveness of sins, the one who promises us resurrection and eternal life, the one who promises new life here upon this earth is true, is real, is the one that we can truly put our hope in. But I know sometimes we're stronger than others in doing that. I know at times, you know, there are times in our lives where we're like, great, Jesus, all the time, every day, and it's wonderful, but then there are times where I don't know, I may have my doubts, or I just may not have the strength, or I may just be feeling down, and it's tough to walk forward. when Jesus came down off the mountain of transfiguration, where they had this wonderful climactic moment where the disciples got to see who Jesus really was as the Son of God, the Messiah, truly. There were the disciples down there who were trying to heal a boy of a demon. You know this story? Love this story. Trying to heal a boy of a demon. And they couldn't do it. And Jesus was upset with them that they were unable to do it. And the father brought the boy to Jesus. And Jesus said to the father, this demon only comes out through fasting and prayer. You faithless and perverse generation, how much longer must I put up with you? Bring your son here. When he was coming, the demon... Sorry, let's flip two pages there. The demon dashed him to the ground in convulsions, but Jesus rebuked the unclean spirit, healed the boy, and gave him back to his father. Now, in another account of this healing, Jesus said that this demon will only come out if you believe. And the words of the father were this: I believe, help my unbelief. Jesus gave us upon the Mount of Transfiguration the sure and certain sign that he was from God. But sometimes even seeing that sign isn't always enough for us when we start to have those tough moments in our lives. But we thank God that the truth of who Jesus is doesn't change based upon the situations that we find ourselves in. Sometimes, and the Mount of Transfiguration and the story of the healing of the boy after gives us permission to fall on our knees in those difficult times. And Lent is the perfect time to do that and say, Lord Jesus, I do believe. Help my unbelief. Lord Jesus, I know that you are there in my life. Please heal my doubts. Father God, I am struggling with this temptation. Give me the strength to come out on the other side. The Mount of Transfiguration not only gives us hope, but it also gives us the strength when we may not have it anymore. So I praise God for that opportunity in our lives to know that he is with us every step of the way.